Welcome to Ghana Country Radio, a program that discusses current social, political, economic, prophetic events in the light of Scripture. I'm your Bible teacher, Pastor Brad Winship, pastor of Harbor Bible Church in Lawrence Harbor, New Jersey. But you ask, what do pastors know about politics? Well, we don't have to know everything, but in that we have a working knowledge of the Bible, we have the ethical framework to discern what's right and wrong. The best analogy is that of a basketball referee. He may not be an expert in playing basketball, but he knows when the experts make a foul play. The prophet Malachi explains the role of the pastor. Malachi chapter 2, verse 7. For the lips of a priest should preserve knowledge, and men should seek instruction from his mouth, for he's the messenger of the Lord of hosts. Well, the lesson that God has put before us this week is this whole issue of free speech. Think for a moment about how everything in the news over the last 2 months has touched on this issue of free speech, such as Russia silencing its citizens for opposing the war in Ukraine, DeSantis limiting the free speech of teachers who want to teach transgenderism to young children, the controversy over Elon Musk buying Twitter so that the social platform will return to free speech, the censorship by social media giants, the outing of the creator of the libs of TikTok. And now the big news. The administration announced that the Department of Homeland Security will be creating a disinformation board to deal with speech that might threaten the state. Now, I have a personal interest in this issue because last week YouTube took down three of my programs about the 2020 election. Program number 175, By Intrigue. Program number 148, A Better Kingdom. And program number 149, The Stop the Steal Rally. And I really like that program because I did a montage of footage that I took at the January 6th rally. I was just explaining what the protest was all about and what it looked like. And with these takedowns, I was given a strike, so I can't post anything on YouTube for about a week. Now, this is not the first time YouTube has taken down one of my programs. I think I'm probably up to about 8. But this is the first time they took down 3 programs in 1 week. And this is the first time they went back and took out programs that I posted a year and a half ago. So the content moderators at YouTube must be on a mission to remove any information that casts doubts on the legitimacy of President Biden's election, which they're calling disinformation, but that's a matter of opinion. There's a conservative website called The Daily Signal, and they also posted that YouTube recently took down 2 of their videos about election integrity. So why is this happening? Well, the president's press secretary, Jen Psaki, has admitted that the Biden administration is working with social media to target political misinformation, specifically concerning COVID and the election. The government is actually showing to these social media companies the information and the sites that need to be taken down. And this is unconstitutional because the First Amendment states, Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof or abridging the freedom of speech or of the press. And the courts have been very strict against the government limiting free speech. But look at what these government operatives are doing. They get around this by putting pressure on private companies to limit free speech, because the First Amendment only applies to what the government can't do, not to what private individuals can do and private companies. But for the government to influence companies or individuals in any way to limit free speech is also a violation of the Constitution. But we all know what the left has been doing in recent years. They have been saying, we know this is unconstitutional, but we're going to sign it anyway and just tie it all up in the courts. The worst thing that could happen is we lose, but we get 3, 4, or 5 years to implement our policies. And maybe we'll luck out with a liberal judge who wants to reinterpret the Constitution. So again, the big news is that the Biden administration has announced the creation of a disinformation board as part of Homeland Security. You would think that since Russia has recently cracked down on free speech, and since Elon Musk is putting an end to the left's censorship monopoly on social media, that the politicians would realize that they need to let up on censorship. But instead, what is the administration doing? They're doubling down on it. They're responding to Elon Musk buying Twitter by creating a disinformation board. Now, Republicans in Congress and in the Senate are calling, you know, this board unconstitutional, a violation of the First Amendment. Since Congress holds the purse strings, Congresswoman Laura Boebert is calling for Congress to withhold money from the DHS that would be used for this disinformation board. Now, the irony of this information board has not been lost on the public. In George Orwell's novel, 1984, which describes a dystopian future communist state, Big Brother, the novel has Big Brother operating what is called the Ministry of Truth, which determines what is true and what is false. And of course, what is false is anything that contradicts those in power. Big Brother. And yet the political left in America, with a straight face, is now creating a disinformation board. Even though the very concept is the evil in every movie and novel. Now, this is probably because in their heart of heart, they really like the concept of Big Brother. They think it wouldn't be such a bad thing. You know, like in Orwell's novel, Animal Farm, many of the animals thought it'd be great for the pigs to take over the farm. But in the left creating this disinformation board, I can't help thinking of the prophecy of Ezekiel 38:17. Thus saith the Lord God, are you he of whom I have spoken in former days by my servants the prophets, who prophesied for years in those days that I would bring you against them? In other words, people will be saying to these rebels in the future, are you not the evil ones spoken about in the prophecy? So in regard to this disinformation board, in doing this, are you not the ones doing the very thing great Americans warned against doing? Now, there's a lesson here in the deceitfulness of sin, about how the unsaved are darkened in their understanding, Ephesians 4:18. About how the ungodly do not have a proper sense of self-awareness. And there's a lesson here in the need for salt and light. Because if this is what the left does, imagine what would happen if there were no conservatives, no biblically based people to stop this and call it out. The left would create a ministry of truth. They would jail their opponents. They would eliminate free speech. Everything would be controlled and owned by the government, because it's the very nature of the unsaved to despise freedom, responsibility, and righteousness. Communism and secularism are joined at the hip. Well, there's been a pushback against Biden's new disinformation board, which I'm going to be calling the Ministry of Truth. And there is a whole moral lesson to be learned as we sit back and watch what the left is saying to try to justify the board. I could do an entire program entitled Understanding or Examining the Left's Justification for a Disinformation Board. And the administration is saying misinformation needs to be stopped because this is necessary in order to stop domestic terrorism, which is something we've been hearing from, you know, university intellectual leftists for the last 10 years, that speech can be violence. And so since we have laws against violence, we need to have laws against free speech. The whole justification for censoring social media content that questioned the election is the January 6th rally. The claim is that if we don't censor those who doubt the results of the election, then there might be a violent insurrection against the government. Now, regardless of whether or not that's true, this certainly is a convenient excuse for the left to shut down what they want to shut down. the opinions of their political opponents. You see, whenever free speech is shut down, the public knows it's so outrageous that the anti-free speech people need to come up with some sort of an excuse, such as lives are at stake. Case in point, the Reichstag fire in 1933. Someone set on fire the German parliament building, and Hitler used that as an excuse to enforce martial law, emergency orders, to limit free speech, and to go after his political opponents. Does that sound familiar? COVID emergency powers, and the censorship of questioning the election. And by the way, this is why the entering of the Capitol by some protesters on January 6th, which in the grand scheme of things is no big deal, is being made out by the left to be an insurrection, the worst attack on democracy in American history. So, in explaining the left's reason for the misinformation board, one must understand how the left is saying speech is violence. Critical race theory also teaches that the white majority and their Western values, which is code for Christian values, uses free speech to oppress. That those who have been in power for the last 400 or 500 years, those with Western values, use their words and their ideas to oppress minorities. So therefore, since the white people have controlled the words and ideas for so long, they've created a monopoly, so their free speech needs to be taken away from them just for a time in order to level the playing field. And these people are serious about this. Here's an article from the Times Magazine. Free speech is a white male obsession. Elon Musk only cares about free speech because he wants to oppress. So it's amazing, isn't it? You would think that the left would be all for free speech, but they've turned the whole thing on its head. Now free speech is evil. Their crusade for free speech over the last 40 years was never really about free speech. It was about their worldview becoming heard and accepted. And if free speech is now hindering that, they're now against free speech. So we know the game. Evil, when it's out of power, complains that the righteous are not allowing for their free speech. But once evil gets into power, they no longer believe in free speech. Case in point, everyone knows that the ACLU was a crusader for free speech throughout the 20th century. Free speech for communists, free speech for homosexuals, free speech for pornography. But now that the culture has adopted those practices, in the last few years, the ACLU has done 180 on defending free speech. Now they're fighting against free speech. And this is all being put on display for God's people to take note of the hypocrisy of liars. 1 Timothy 4:2. To really show us what this world looks like without God. One more point I want to make here about the less justification for censorship. Understand that the unsaved mind doesn't define falsehood the way you and I define falsehood. For example, the Christian with a biblical worldview defines falsehood as that which goes against the word of God or that which is not in sync with reality. In other words, if you lie on your tax returns, it's a lie because it doesn't sync with the reality of your wealth. But for the secularist who do not believe in God and who believe we can make up our own reality, what is true or false is not based upon some objective standard, but based upon outcomes. In other words, what is false is that which results in a bad outcome for them. It has nothing to do with what we traditionally mean by true or false. So, for example, any position or statement that would threaten their authority or power is a falsehood, not because it's false, but because it hurts them. This is also how the Pharisees viewed Christ. For them, he could not be true because he threatened their power. Now, for righteous people, truth is truth, even if it hurts us or contradicts us. The righteous believe they need to accept the rebuke of truth and be conformed to the truth. But for the unrighteous, anything that causes them pain is an untruth. And truth needs to conform to them. So in today's context, anything that helps President Trump would automatically be a falsehood, and anything that hurts him would automatically be true, regardless of what is objectively true or false. Anything that undermines Biden's authority would be considered a falsehood, even if it's true. And the clearest illustration is anything that creates vaccine hesitancy would be a falsehood, even if it's true science, because it becomes detrimental to a previous desired outcome. So just understand that when you're talking with those on the left about truth, their definition of truth is totally different than your definition of truth. And that's why you wind up talking past each other. And again, this war over truth, these two definitions of truth, is referred to in the Bible from Genesis to Revelation. Proverbs 12:17, he who speaks truth tells what's right, but a false witness deceit. And remember what Jesus said about the nature of Satan and his followers. John 8:44, he doesn't stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. Whenever he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own nature. So there's a completely different worldview and nature concerning what is truth. So there are many issues involved in this whole topic of freedom of speech. In closing, let me just quickly review what the Bible has to say about free speech. I'll get started here, but most of this is going to have to be included in my video version of this program on Rumble and YouTube. Free speech is constitutional, but is it biblical? Does or doesn't the king have the right to abridge the freedom of speech? What the Constitution has to say about it is of little consequence to Christians because the Word of God is our standard. Acts chapter 5, verse 29, we must obey God rather than men. Now, in America, in practice, even given First Amendment rights, the courts have understood that free speech is not absolute. There are laws against obscenities. You can't falsely cry fire in a crowded theater. And you can't call 911 with a false claim. When I went to public school, teachers weren't permitted to teach communism. And even DeSantis, his parents' rights bill, censors the free speech of transgenders. So no one believes in absolute freedom of speech, neither conservatives or liberals. The issue is where to draw the line. And the courts have pretty much made up the law as they went along, based on the social morals of the culture at any given time. As our culture becomes more ungodly, pornography, that was prohibited speech, became a matter of free speech. And so in an ungodly nation, evil free speech will be allowed and righteous free speech will be censored. So really, when it comes to this fight for free speech, it's not really about free speech, but about properly discerning righteous speech versus unrighteous speech, what the public should or shouldn't tolerate. Therefore, the only way for laws about speech to work properly is for the citizenship to be righteous. And the solution is evangelism, conversion, and discipleship. Because as John Adams wrote, our Constitution was made only for a moral and religious people. It's wholly inadequate to the government of any other. First Amendment laws concerning free speech will only work if they're interpreted and applied by a biblical-based citizenship. Otherwise, free speech is an open door for evildoers. Now, as we come to Scripture, we see the record that the ungodly are always against free speech, against righteous speech. King Jehoiakim cut up and threw into the fire the prophecies of Jeremiah because they opposed the king's policies. King Zedekiah threw the prophet Jeremiah into prison so his voice wouldn't be heard in the streets. Acts chapter 7, Stephen told the Sanhedrin, which one of the prophets did you not persecute? And even then, the Sanhedrin plugged up their ears They wouldn't listen to Stephen, and they stoned him to death to silence him. Acts chapter 22, when Paul spoke in the temple, the people tossed dust into the air to stop Paul from being heard. Daniel's three friends, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, were thrown into the furnace because they made a public demonstration of their opposition to the king's policy. You know, the people of this world, because of a bias against God and a bias for sin, don't want to hear the truth. So they'll persecute the truth, both religious truth and also political truth that points to God's moral standards. George Orwell again, quote, "The further society drifts from the truth, the more it will hate those who proclaim it." So the biblical standard seems to be that the king or the government needs to protect righteous speech. As far as blanket free speech, where evil speech and righteous speech are both allowed, the Bible doesn't seem to support that. The main text, Deuteronomy 13:5, "The false prophet shall be put to death." Or Exodus 22:18, "You shall not allow a sorcerer to live." Case in point, this week in Greensboro, North Carolina, parents are trying to shut down a Satan club in public school. And rightly so. Even in America, for the longest time, churches were tax exempt, but not the Church of Satan. But back in 1792, in the writing of the Bill of Rights, there was a blanket statement concerning the right to free speech and a law prohibiting the government from limiting free speech. And there are two reasons for that. First, blanket free speech will always favor righteousness, because at some point, for evil to succeed, it has to take down free speech. But righteousness tends to thrive on free speech, because righteousness is not threatened by free speech, because in a fair contest, righteousness wins the argument. We welcome the challenge. Well, the second reason why blanket free speech was written into our Constitution was this issue of who gets to decide. Even though in the Old Testament, the Israeli government, the judges of Israel, were given the power to curtail free speech, history has shown that when the government gets the power to curtail free speech, it always ends up being the persecution of the righteous. Because as in the temptation of Christ, who is the ruler of this world? Who rules the kingdoms of men? Satan. And it was the humanist John Stuart Mills who argued for free speech by saying that nobody is qualified to judge free speech, so it just needs to be allowed. Well, those two arguments for free speech are logical. But what does the Bible really say? Does the Bible actually allow for blanket free speech in order to protect the righteous? Well, that's a big question. And we'll look at that in my YouTube version of this program at God and Country Biblical Exposition. In conclusion, let's remember this. The point of free speech is to speak. All the First Amendment rights in the world are meaningless unless we practice them. As the prophet Ezekiel stated, we're watchmen on the wall to speak the truth to the people, to warn them. And so we should heed Paul's prayer in the New Testament, Ephesians 6:19, "Pray on my behalf that utterance may be given to me in the opening of my mouth, to make known with boldness the mystery of the gospel, for which I'm an ambassador in chains, that in proclaiming it, I may speak boldly as I ought to speak." You've been listening to God and Country Radio. The website for all the links is godandcountryradio.org. Thanks for listening. Let's close in prayer. Father in heaven, we pray for the wisdom and the courage to make known your truth, which is the greatest and most important message in this world, the gospel, the good news of salvation. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.